Do somebody teach in junior church today? Yeah, we'll ask the children to go out to junior church. Thank you, Linda. Thank you. Linda, you need help? You want somebody to go with you? Or? Okay. Becky will go with her. If you're thinking, oh, I could never go on a mission trip, I'm too old. Well, Russ went. I don't think anybody's older than 90. And Helen went. So God uses everybody. He used Julia. Is she 12? Julia? Are you 12? Christian, 13, and then Daniel, and Becky, and Lizzie. So we had a wonderful time there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this opportunity we've had to share with our family, our church family, Lord, what you did in our lives and what you're doing there in Chicago through the faithful service of so many, Lord. Unsung heroes that we never hear about, but one day we'll get to hear their story in heaven of how they were faithful to God in the midst of darkness and they shone as bright lights, Lord. Continue to watch over them, protect them, provide for their every need. We thank you, Lord, that our hearts were moved and challenged and that we came away from this trip in Chicago a little more aware of how awesome and big you are, Lord. We pray, Lord, that as we study your word this morning, once again, Lord, we will understand that you are an awesome God, that you make a difference, all the difference, in what we do and what we say, Lord. We love you. Thank you for loving us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you're looking at your watches, it's already 11 o'clock. I realize that. And I'll have a little abbreviated devotional because of the time and stuff. Because we do want to stick around for Sunday school and learn there as well. There's a story. It's a modern-day parable of a family. They went to the beach. There was a businessman and his family. And he liked to get up early in the morning and just sit on the porch on the balcony there and look at the ocean. And the night before, it was a vicious storm. And he got up early in the morning, as usual, had his cup of coffee. And he noticed that on the beach, far away in the distance, there was a person. He wasn't real sure what kind of person it was. He couldn't tell because it was far enough away. But this person was doing some repeated motions. It was rather strange. He couldn't really figure it out in the distance. So he decided to take a walk on the beach. And as he got close to the beach, he had noticed that the storm, the previous night had dumped or brought to shore millions and millions of starfish. And they were laying on the ocean, on the beach there. And he got closer to that person. He realized it was a man. And he noticed that this man was bending over and throwing something. And he figured it out. It's, you know, these starfish. He's bending over, picking them up, and throwing them back into the ocean one by one. And so he decides to go talk to them. And he says, you know, you're crazy. I mean, there's millions of starfish. You know, you're not going to make a difference. And sometimes we feel that way, don't we? The world's a mighty big place. And we think sometimes, you know, our efforts don't make a difference. And the Bible has a warning to us as believers that sometimes we can live out our lives in such a way that we don't make a difference. Jesus says to those listening to him on the Sermon on the Mount, he says, if you listen to God's word and you don't put it into practice, when the storms of life come, it's not going to make a difference. Your house is going to come crashing down if you're just a listener and not a doer. It's not going to make a difference in the world if you know all the answers and you don't live your life out. James, in his book to the early church there, the half-brother of Jesus, says, you know what? Listening to God's word and not doing it, it's like looking in a mirror and then leaving and forgetting what you look like. It doesn't make a difference. If you're just a hearer of God's word and not a doer, No difference at all. And Paul said, and turn with me to this passage, please. In 1 Timothy, Paul says to his disciple in the faith, young man in the faith, who went on him in all his missionary trips, starting with this second one, he says that to this to Timothy, his dear son in the faith, one he had suffered with, prayed with, played with, studied with, he says this, verse 15, it says, practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. I hear some pages still turning, so I'll wait just a second here. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Did I not say? I'm sorry. That's why your pages were turning, huh? Chapter 4, verse 15. Pray these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Verse 16, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in these, for by doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So if we want to make a difference, according to Paul's words to Timothy, we have to have our doctrine right, but we also have to have our lives right. You've all heard the saying, practice what you preach. You've all heard it say, you know, I can't hear what you're saying because your life speaks so loudly. And that's basically what Paul is saying to Timothy. And if you take out your notes, just fill in the blanks there. If you don't have a pen, there's some pens in the back of the church. You can get up and get one, or maybe ask someone to give you one. But a lot of us, we're a Bible-believing church. We believe in the Bible. Now, we've got our doctrine down right. There's no doubt about that. But sometimes we don't live what we say. And so, thinking through this, I came up with 8 things. We preach grace. In fact, that's the name of our church. We preach God's grace, but aren't very gracious sometimes. We just aren't gracious people sometimes. We're quick to backbite, to bite each other, devour each other, the Bible says. Sometimes our churches, I haven't seen a lot of this here, thank the Lord, but sometimes we're battle zones instead of a hospital with sick and hurting people. Grace Church should be known as a gracious church. Because of the time, we're not going to go into each one of these. We enjoy God's forgiveness, but forgive very little. We hold grudges for things that were done to us years and years and years ago. The Bible commands us to be forgiving, just as Christ forgave us. Remember that parable in Matthew 18? Where Jesus, in the context of forgiveness, says, you know, you have had a debt so big. Remember the servants, the two unjust servants, this one servant owed his master like 16,000 years of salary. There was no way that he's ever going to pay it back. No one lives that long. But he begged his master for forgiveness. And it's fact. The fact that the master gave him forgiveness. He canceled the debt completely. And he leaves with a debt so large that he can never pay back. And he runs into somebody that owed him about a year's salary. I mean, it was a significant amount of money. But only a year, he could have paid it back. And that servant begs the servant who just got forgiven for mercy. He says, no way. And he calls the police and he puts the man in jail. And then the master who was owed 16,000 years worth of money, hears about this. He calls that man in and says, what are you doing? I have forgiven you so much, and you can't forgive a little? We preach forgiveness, but we forgive so little. So what difference does it make if we got it right, but don't forgive and aren't gracious? Well, tell me, what difference does it make? None. None, absolutely none. We claim God's kingdom. This is number 3. We claim God's kingdom is eternal. But then don't invest in it. Not sacrificially. Well, we might give our tithe. We give usually out of our abundance when we have a little extra. But the Bible tells us to invest in eternity, where moth and rust and robbers will not destroy. We want so much right now, right here. God wants us to invest not only our money, but our time, our energy, our talents in His kingdom. Number four. If you want the notes with all the verses and things, you can come to me afterwards and I'll make a copy and give it to you. We believe God changes hearts. We sang that about God's Word. But then we don't pray. We don't pray. Does God change hearts? You bet He does. The hardest heart He can still change. He can open up the blindest of eyes. And we saw that this week. In dark situation, God changes heart. Miss Pearl, you should read her book when Todd brings it to you next week. A woman blinded by drugs and alcohol, but God changed her heart. And the circumstances that God used to change her heart. So let's pray. Let's be a praying church. Let's make a difference in this world. Let's not work on our own strength. Let's rely on God and His strength. Let's pray. Number five. We declare we are ambassadors, and the Bible says we are ambassadors of reconciliation. We go in the name of the King. We serve a different kingdom. But we say that we're ambassadors, but then we don't go. We like our holy huddles. You know, you get there on the football field, you do your huddle, and everybody likes that, and then let's play ball, and then we just sort of hang around, you know. And no one runs the play. No one goes. We don't talk to our neighbors. We don't talk to our friends. We don't witness to our boss. We sort of, that's somebody else's job. No, it's not. God has called each and every one of us to go and share the wonderful news that God loves them and sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Number six. We believe the Bible to be true and to be the absolute authority in our lives. But then what? We don't obey it. We just don't obey it. We obey the parts we like. The ones that are easy. But a lot of the commandments we just don't obey. Not for me. So you tell me, what difference does it make? If we're our ambassadors and don't go, and we believe the Bible to be true and don't obey it, and we believe God's heart, God changes hearts, but don't pray, tell me what difference does it make? Does it make a difference? Yes. Not really, Brenda. Now, if we don't do those things? Number seven. We emphasize worship, and we love worship. I mean, we spend millions of dollars on worship. You know, nice sound system. Our church. But plays and productions and sound equipment and multimedia and praise bands. We're all about worship. But then we refuse to do what exactly brings God the most glory, which is to witness. God wants worshipers. That's what He wants. And missions is a worship problem. That's not my saying. That's John Piper saying that. Missions is a worship problem. We aren't worshiping the way He wants us to worship and testifying of His love to us. So we emphasize worship, but don't make worshipers or don't encourage others to worship. And then the last one. We stress discipleship. We want people to be involved in other people's lives. We want to open up the Word of God and teach them the Word of God and pray with them. We stress discipleship. But then we don't get involved. We don't get involved in other people's life. We like our privacy. We don't call people up. We don't pray with them. We don't read the Bible with them. We don't teach them. No. We like our privacy. We like to be alone. My personal faith, that's a private thing. Isn't that what we say usually? It's a private matter. Well, back to our story. There, the guy tossing those little starfish out. And that man said, you know what? You're not going to make a difference. And the man picked up another starfish, threw it out, and he looked at the man and said, you know what? It made a difference to that one right there. It made a difference to that one right there. And every time we give a dime or penny to the Lord, it makes a difference. Because it's bathed in the ocean or the sea of God's grace. God is more powerful than our smallness. God is awesome. Every time we take a leap of faith and step across the room and talk to somebody and share with them what God is doing in our life, we are making a difference. It's not us, we realize that, but God is making a difference. Every time we forgive somebody when we don't feel like it, we are communicating to that person the greatness, the awesomeness of God's forgiveness. Every time we pray, we're making a difference, aren't we? We are. We're making a difference. You prayed for us this week. I know you did. Some of you contacted me and you told you did. That made a difference. Every time we obey God's word, no matter how hard it may seem to us, we are making a difference in people's lives for the glory of God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just don't want to have all the answers. Just be a church who's known as they've got all the answers. We want to be known like that. We want to get your Bible straight. We want to get it right. But we also want to live it out. We want Grace Church, Lord, for your glory to make a difference in this community. And we realize that's only possible as each member involves themselves in what you have called us to do, Lord. It's not just the pastor, it's not just the deacons. It's every single individual. And we saw that this week. We saw a church giving. We saw a church praying. We saw a church going. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the difference that we made because of your grace in our lives this week. We pray, Lord, that this next week will be just as significant in each and every one of our lives and in the world in which we live. Because we choose to live out what you've asked us to live. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. When we stand and sing the doxology, please.